Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to Creative Consciousness Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are so excited to be with you this evening. Today is April 28th of 2015, and boy, has it been an incredible day. I don't know if you're feeling that energy out there, but amongst people in the universe, a lot of bumping up against each other, in the physical, in the emotional, in the spiritual, in all the different realms that we work with and live with, living in the spiritual universe that we're in. So we are so grateful that you are joining with us tonight, because as we all come together and we really do live in oneness with each other and really do follow what's going on inside us and listen to the voice of inner spirit, inner guidance, it really does create your reality. And in a way that really harmonizes with your happiness and your joy and your peace. We are here to support individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives. So, you know, if you're listening to the show right now and you feel that you're coming into your gift, that you're hearing a calling, we want to acknowledge that with you, and we want to confirm for you that that is true and to go ahead and just follow. Feel the faith and the love that is within you, and go ahead and make your dream come true. This is where we're at in the world today. This is the calling, the gift. So with that, we want to introduce you to our festival that we are building. It's the Bridging the Gap Festival. And we're doing these festivals all over the world. And, you know, our first one is actually going to be in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And we have 400 people that are coming together that live spiritually purposed lives. And I'll tell you, to have 400 people in one room, an hour from the border, right there where they're having, the Virgin Airline CEO is building the spaceport, I think it's quite interesting that the spiritual community is being called to Las Cruces. So I know that we're in for a ride, and I think it's going to be a wonderful event, and we are so excited to, just the fact that we're going to get to meet people individually that we've talked to, and perhaps, even meet many new people that we haven't even gotten to know here, but we've known them all of our existence. So in that reality, we want to thank you for supporting us. And listening to our show, we get a lot of feedback from our people that come and listen. And our guests, they truly are gifted. They bring forth knowledge of the other, the spiritual code that is written within every one of us. They have their code, and they know it, and they speak it. And so we're very blessed to be hosting one of our, a beautiful soul tonight. And what I'd like to do is, usually our format is that I open the show with the oneness of the intention. And our intention here is to join with you and to walk side by side with you and to really move in our own self, in our own direction, with our friends by our side. And so we're your friend as well, and we're walking side by side with you. And so don't feel as if you're out there. A lot of spiritual people, they feel like they're out there, they're on an island, and they're not really connecting with the whole, community of spirit. And I want to let you know that the whole community of spirit is already connecting with you, because we're here and so is our guest. And so I'm going to, my husband, Sam, is here tonight, and he's such a loving soul. He's one of the, most, of course, he's my husband. I'm going to speak the greatest about him because I live with him, and I'm in his joy, and we're one. So, when I'm, being with him is really being with myself. But he's going to go ahead and introduce our guest tonight, and I'm going to remain here listening to the show, and I really hope you enjoy it. Let's have a great show tonight, guys. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're from.
beautiful planet Earth. Great introduction, Cabrini, once more. I'm just going to, before I have our guest on here, I'm just going to read a little bio on him just to get acquainted, and then away we go, as per our other shows. This is our format. And so Jim Self is our guest tonight. He's an international speaker, author, and leader in the field of spiritual development. He has been leading seminars on personal energy management and the tools of mastering alchemy for over 30 years. Since childhood, Jim has had the ability to recall his experiences within the sleep state. Over the last 14 years, this awareness has expanded into relationships with the archangels, ascended masters, and teachers of light. The tools and information presented in this program, Mastering Alchemy, he's got a program called Mastering Alchemy, is a co-creation of these relationships. Jim is also the author of What Do You Mean the Third Dimension is Going Away? Why Now is the Time to Release Who You Are and Who You Are Not and Remember Who You Are and Spirit Matters. Down-to-Earth Tools for Spiritual Life. He offers free life teleseminars, free live teleseminars, correction, videos, webinar recordings, and essential tools on his website, along with details of his Mastering Alchemy Level 1, 2, and 3. His website is www.masteringalchemy.com. And here we are. Let's welcome our guest, Jim Self. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sam and Cabrini. Nice to be here with you both.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's get started. Give us what you call mastering alchemy. What is mastering alchemy?
You know, each one of us are on our own individual journey in this whole process. And in the process, there are a lot of things that we run into, we believe, we think, we've been told, we've been programmed, all of those kind of things. But there's a internal guidance system within each one of us that allows you to kind of discern what's true for you and what's not true for you. But when most of us grow up, we learn to turn away from that internal guidance system because you come into a body and here's mom, dad, teacher, minister, and they all have your best interest in at heart. Let's just assume that for the moment. And they want you to grow up to be correct, appropriate, learn well, enjoy yourself, happy, those kind of things. And so they begin to tell you, this is how you do it. You know, you do this, you don't do that. You hang out with these people, you don't hang out with those people. You go to this church, you don't go to that church. You go to this school. And in that process, to a great extent, that external world creates you in their image. And in the process of wanting to fit in and wanting to be safe, we quite often, most of the time, turn our attention from that internal guidance system to that external world in order to fit in. And so one of the things that's happening with this shift of consciousness that is now very much engaged, there are lots of people who are waking up. Many of those people who were told this is how you do it, they didn't particularly like being told all those things, because in a lot of ways they did listen to that internal guidance system. Very sensitive people who were simply finding every time they stepped into the mom, dad, teacher, minister's rights and wrongs, it wasn't their alignment, their right and wrong. And so over quite a few years, you've had many people become hiders, many people become withdrawn, many very sensitive people who had their spiritual abilities on and functioning, but based on the external world, it wasn't okay. And so you've got a lot of people that are now beginning to ask more questions with this shift of consciousness and begin to have a choice of experience themselves in their own internal guidance. And so the Mastering Alchemy work, which has been, which is multifaceted in some ways, but very specific in one purpose, is to learn how to know yourself, how to begin to discern between your truth and truths of others, and simply begin to learn a set of skills, tools, increased, enhanced awarenesses to make better choices in your life. there's no philosophy. There's no this is true or this isn't true. It's like here's a skill set, a tool. Here's an awareness. What happens when you step into it?
That's really interesting, and you know, I think you nailed it on the head when you said sensitive. The word sensitive people, because that voice is pretty loud. I consider myself a sensitive person, and the internal voice is pretty loud. And you know, I completely understand the mother, father, teacher, preacher, you know, rights and wrongs, and how it conflicted with sometimes my inner voice. So I think you nailed it right on the head there, Jim. Jim, tell us a little bit about yourself, your history, your spiritual history in your life. Can you share that with us?
Sure. The short version of this is when I came into the body, I had all those spiritual abilities turned on. And at the point as you start to grow up, most people begin to turn off things, particularly things like your clairvoyance, because stop telling those lies, stop making up those stories, you know, stop imagining things is the message. And so your clairvoyance doesn't turn off, you just stop paying attention to it. And as kids all grew up around me and turned off all of those things, I did not turn off most of those things. I kept using them. But in the uniqueness that I find myself in, I also fit in with lots of those kids. I didn't consider either weird or strange, and sometimes I talk about it and sometimes I didn't, and sometimes I helped people and sometimes I didn't. But in that course of growing up, there was a confusion because I generally could cut through many of the lies and distortions and kind of BS and basically say, is this what you're asking? Is this what you want to accomplish? And so that ability kind of led me, or my path kind of led into some interesting places. After going to college at 24, I was elected to the San Jose, California City Council for 2 terms and was vice mayor. And then, and that was being very young for at that particular time of a major populated city of 750,000 at that point. And then left that job at the request of President Jimmy Carter and went back to Washington as the director of governmental operations for the Department of Energy and an advisor to President Carter. So, and then when he was unelected, I was unappointed, which actually was one of the most wonderful moments in my whole life because nobody knew where I was at that minute. I didn't have any obligations. I didn't have to take care of anybody. It was really wonderful. But there was confusion all the time because in that place, I was able to cut through a lot of the lies and the distortions, but at the same time, there they were. And so it really was a training ground to begin to both discern and see the game at that kind of higher political, governmental level. After that, I kind of left and put together a couple of environmentally oriented corporations and sold them, and still have one or two corporations that I'm involved in. But the whole purpose of that was to begin to have an awareness of that foot in life, that third dimensional reality, the distortions and the pain and the challenges that people go through. And simultaneously, my spiritual side was on and operating very fully. So it got to a point where when I stepped out of that, I wound up doing a lot of internal work. And then for the last 30 years, this relationship between kind of all that is, the consciousness of the Creator, the Lords of Light, the archangelic realms, the ultra-terrestrial beings, Christed beings, that's just what is there. But when a person holds their attention in that third dimensional space, and whatever grounds, and today many times you watch people in their spiritual space, they pretty much get into, like a lot of people in metaphysics today, the spiritual community today that we would identify that with, one of the things that's interesting is it's a very horizontal community. What I mean by that is we really pretty much form another church in a lot of ways. Now, people don't like to hear that, but I go out and find a new group. I have commonality. I sit and I pray. I meditate. I talk about my spiritual things. We read different books. We hang out, and now I have a new kind of community sense. But
yes.
One of the things that is coming into the awareness is this kind of vertical spiritualism, to where when you begin to recognize this shift of consciousness, it operates very differently than kind of the operating system of what we've all grown up in. And so when you begin to start to recognize that in order to know yourself, you can't carry around that baggage that you have acquired. And most of the baggage that we walk around with is not ours. We simply have accepted these gifts from people all our lives. People will say to you or me, you're not okay. You're not attractive. You don't fit. You're not smart. You're never going to succeed. You didn't do well on your test. You're really not worth anything. You know that place?
Oh, yeah.
In that place, if you really begin to step back and look at it, to a great extent, what happens is somebody hands you a gift. They're just having a bad day, a bad lifetime in that moment, and they just blurt out their pain or their judgment or opinion. And a lot of times it's directed at that little kid or somebody that you are close to. Relationship is the hardest game on the planet. And so somebody says, you're not attractive, or you're not smart, or you're never going to succeed. But really what they're saying to you is, you are not okay in my image. In my awareness, something's wrong with you. And then they hand you this gift that says, you're not okay. And this is where one of the very fundamental shifts, this awareness of what I'm saying, is so important. Because here you're handed this gift, and the next thing that you do is you believe it. And you say, what's wrong with me? And then you spend the rest of your life holding on to that message and analyzing it, figuring out, trying to figure out what's wrong with me. The external world told me I was not okay. The real challenge is you can never find an answer to that question, what's wrong with me? Because nothing is wrong with you. You cannot be not okay. But you're carrying around this gift, trying to figure out, why did they say that? What's wrong with me? And so we stay in this very third dimensional duality of right and wrong and figuring it out. The shift of consciousness that we're now in is the one where you start to recognize that nothing is wrong with me, or that person was having a bad day one part of their lifetime. But we walk around with this and we hang on to it and we don't like it, so we do something very specific. We take it and put it over here in a little box called denial. Oh, I'm really okay. I mean, really, I'm okay. I know I'm okay. And yet that little denial box keeps pulling your attention. So the next thing that happens is I make a deal with that little box. I say, if you don't come out into the light of day and bite me in the butt ever again, I'll never go anywhere near where that person is that told me I wasn't okay. And you put that box on the behind you on the back shelf, never to see it again, hopefully. And you never go over there by that person that told you you weren't okay. The challenge with that is that little box doesn't go away, and it nags at you. It's constantly engaged with you in a way that is drawing your energy fields. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. I'm just really enjoying the way you're articulating this message, and it's in simple terms. And I just want to say that in spirituality, there's great simplicity, and you're really showing it right now with the words you're saying. Keep going, Jim.
Okay. But this is my job, to try to make it easy and understandable. It already is simple, but a lot of it isn't easy. So let's take that a little bit further. So I mean, you've seen this person all your life. You know, you say hello to somebody from a nice, happy place, and you say, "How are you doing?" And they go, "Oh, I'm fine." Well, somehow "I'm fine" and "I'm fine" don't quite match up. And so if you say, "Well, what's going on?" many times the person will say something like, "Oh, my wife, husband died 20 years ago." And they're holding on to that sadness right there in that moment. But so there's a lot of mechanics. You asked, what is mastering alchemy? It's beginning to understand the mechanics of spiritualism, the mechanics of psychology, the mental and emotional body, the mechanics of how you function as a being and a body. It's not rocket science. It just requires a shift of attention. See, so one of the pieces to start with is we're carrying around all of these beliefs and thoughts that mostly other people have given us. In fact, I'll go so far as to say most of the thoughts you think and most of the beliefs you hold are not even yours. Never were yours. But we walk around with those thoughts and beliefs and emotions based to a great extent on fitting in with the external world and not having what bit me in the butt once upon a time do it to me again. That part makes sense?
Absolutely. I was just going to interject here. Can we say it's quite a generational thing that happens, because the people that tell you, me, or others that, you know, they're not good enough, et cetera, they must have heard that with themselves too and carried that with their lives as well.
Absolutely. They grew up with that themselves. We only teach what we know. And so the place where that is interrupted is with the harmonic convergence in 1988. And that's
right.
When all the new kids started coming in. Now, they're the effect of the same thing I'm talking about, but they're wired completely different. And there's many variations of those new kids coming in. And they're all going to take over in the coming years in some really wonderful ways. But the real experience right now is the people that are listening on the call. See, how is it that you can begin to live in what I'm, and I'll break this down in a second, but how is it that you can begin to live in what I'm going to define a fifth dimensional reality? And that reality is one you're absolutely congruent with, where there is well-being and co-creation and cooperation and graciousness, kindness, integrity, well-being. See, everybody wants that, but if you think about it, very seldom do you go there. And let alone be able to create it on a sustaining state of awareness. And there's good reasons why an individual cannot maintain that. But what happens is there's lots of words like kindness and graciousness. We all want to be those. We all want to be in gratitude all the time. But many of those words are intellectual concepts, not ingrained vibrational frequencies that you live. So now I'm kind of getting towards where this shift is coming from, this shift of consciousness that's really becoming engaged. It's engaged in such a way that everybody on the planet is now aware that something is changing. Many of those people are not happy about it at all, because it's as if you pulled the rug out from under them, or the rug was removed without interfering with them significantly, but they're really aware that their off-balanceness has now been changed somewhat. And so most of us in a third-dimensional reality are very off-balance. And when you remove the third-dimensional reality, they have to make a change, and change is an uncomfortable thing for people. The majority of people on the planet are experiencing this change, and they're in fear because they don't know what that change means. people who are being asked to step up, the people listening to your radio show, for example, are being asked to step up. It's being asked to be the leaders, the teachers, the healers that understand this shift of consciousness and begin to step into that fifth dimensional state of well-being. You do it with your physical body. I mean, it gets altered significantly as the light body begins to come into play. But basically, it's a state of being that everybody wishes to have, where they laugh, they have fun, they're happy, they can sit back and enjoy the children, and they can enjoy talking to one another. That's what everybody wants. But when you align in that third, fourth dimensional configuration that we've all been subjected to, holding that state of well-being has been a very challenging thing to accomplish. But now it's where everybody is going. There's no question that they're going there. There's no question that this shift of consciousness is engaged or is going to fail. It will not fail. Everybody is on a path of spiritual exploration right now.
Incredible.
Yeah, very fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, the more I'm aware of this news that you're telling me, you know, the more I tie it to this natural process. It's quite a natural process that humanity is going through. Can you agree with that?
Well, yes and no. It's not quite a natural process, because we have spent many, 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 many eons of time since the fall of consciousness in a configuration that is called the third dimension. And I can explain this. The third dimension, by definition, is, well, let me say this. Let me define dimensions and what happens in dimensions. So let's consider a dimension as a box, and each box has a set of rules and structures to it. Now, the third dimensional box has form in it. So when you look out the window and you see the tree, the house, the chair, the road, the car, the chair you're sitting in, the walls that surround you, that's form. That's not third dimension. That's form. That's effectively the staging, the props, the backdrop of your play. Every single individual is in a play. And the play is wonderful. And so in the play, the form that supports your play and your spiritual growth in a body is all of those things, the house, the trees, etc. So in the box called third dimension, let me make a couple caveats. You live in the third and fourth dimension simultaneously, but two sets of rules and structures. In the third dimension, everything is conditional. There is nothing unconditional in the third dimension. The third dimension is very rigid, extremely structured, and very conditional. You will do this. This is how it works. You follow these rules. This is how the game's played out. Third dimension. There's a time structure in the third dimension that most everybody takes for granted. It's past, present, future, and then you die. For the most part, if you ask anybody, is there any other sense of time? 99 out of 100 people, 99,000 out of 10, you know, say no, this is time. That's what it is. But time is an application. It is not a fixed concept. There are many levels of time to play in. But in the third dimension, time, past, present, future, and then you die is basically what everybody lives by. Third dimension is also, besides being rigid, it is constructed in dichotomies, in dualities, in right and wrong, good and bad, should and shouldn't. And so when you play by the rules of the third dimension, that's kind of how you play. Now, but there is some misunderstanding about that also. For example, most people, like virtually everybody, only knows really two large aspects of time. They know the past and they know the future. In fact, they live in the past and they live in the future. In third dimension, present time is called reactionary present time. I'll explain that in a second. But if you think about it, how we live in the past and the future is a function of people saying to you, if you do these things, when you grow up, you're going to be very successful. Or more likely is, I did these things and I didn't like the result, and I hope these things never happen to me again. And so we take our past, we stick it out in our future, and then inevitably we step into that future and receive that past. And it's in that moment that you live in present time. It's like, oh my God, this isn't supposed to be happening. You're in present time. There's nothing else going on. In that instant, there is no past. There is no future. There is present time. So does that make any sense? Present time. Absolutely. Reactionary present time. In third dimension, let me just step into fourth dimension. I'm going to make it real simple with three words, and now you'll see the contrast. In fourth dimension, there is only present time. See, right where you and I are speaking right now, you're not thinking about dinner tonight or breakfast this morning or tomorrow. We're right here. We're engaged right here. And we all get in this engaged space often. So present time is where we are. Now, there's five levels of present time, but right here, just present time. Then the other part of it is right now, you have choice. In the third dimension, the word choice does not exist. You follow the rules, you play the game. But right here, you could say, oh, Jim, I don't agree with you, or, wow, I agree with you. That's a choice you have, or any variation on the theme. So when you get into present time, the ability to choose becomes available to you. The other thing that happens that's very important, it's a funny word called paradox. And what it means is what was true just a moment ago may not be true now, and what was false a moment ago may not be false right now. See, in third dimension, you knock on my door, and I open the door, and I say in my head, I know you. You're the guy who stole from me in third grade. I'm never going to forgive you. You're always going to be bad. See, in third dimension, never and always are very commonly used terms. And so what happens is in that moment, I look at you and slam the door or get really upset because of something a long time ago. But in fourth dimension, I recognize you. I remember you. But you're standing on my porch 20 years later, and I say, hello, and you introduce yourself, and I say, I know who you are, and then you say to me, you know, 20 years ago, I stole from you, and I've been carrying that all my life, and it has been very uncomfortable, and it's only now that I recognize that I can come here and say to you, I am so sorry for what I did. Now, under that circumstance, now think about it, those plus or minus circumstances like that happen all the time. But at that minute, what do? I could simply say, no way, screw you, and stay in the third dimension. Or I can say, well, nice to see you. Come in. Let's have a cup of tea and talk about this. See, when that conversation, that cup of tea is over, two individuals are very different when they part. But in third dimension, in third dimension, I hate you. I'm never going to forgive you. You are always going to be that bad person you were at 4 years old, et cetera. Does that make any sense?
I think that's brilliant. Yeah, I think that's brilliant to notice those two words, always and never, in the realm of the third dimension. I think that's brilliant. There's a brain opening, a brain factor opening for me. As you said that, that's incredible. Jim, I want to ask you regarding choice. Did you place choice in the fourth dimension? And when we choose something, are we in the fourth dimension? Did I hear you clearly?
Yes, but keep that simple. Think about it. Are you in present time when you choose something? Or are you in a reactionary time? Now, you might be in like, oh, I got to do something different, but that's reactionary. That's not intentional choice. Mm-hmm. So, but in the fourth dimension is where you make a decision. Now, keep this really simple. Don't I'm saying this to everybody, don't expand this or extrapolate it out to therefore this must mean, because it's almost this simple. It's almost this simple. The thing about all this aspect of spiritual is very simple, but not necessarily easy. And that's the transition we're in. So when you begin to recognize it and you start to look, now see, this is the place, this is the most important step in my opinion, and also in a number of the great beings' opinion, is it, the longest journey in your spiritual path is between third and fifth dimension. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, twelfth, all those places you play when you go home, every single night you go home. In those places, you have no baggage, you have no fear, nothing's unsafe, you don't distrust anything. It's because everything is in perfect harmonic balance. It's only that third and fourth dimension in the fall of consciousness that are out of balance. And so this transition is big. So the piece that's really important here is we do something very specifically in trying to figure out what's wrong with me. We conjure up an awful lot of beliefs and thoughts and considerations. We kind of skew ourselves to make sure nobody sees that about me and I can fit in somehow. So what happens is let me kind of change a little bit what I'm going to say just to make sense out of this, because we're still talking third and fourth dimension. So I'm going to say something. Thoughts are electrical. Emotions are magnetic. And then this is where the challenge lies, right here. So have you ever seen one of those big junkyard cranes that pick up buses and cars and move them here and there in the junkyard?
Sure.
Okay. So what that is basically there's a big metal, a block, that's hanging on the end of a chain that by itself has magnetic properties but is not a magnet. But the minute you wrap one wire of electrical wire around it and plug it in, it becomes a very dull magnet. But if you wrap that wire 5 times, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times around that block of steel, you get a very powerful electromagnet. Now, interrupt me anywhere that this doesn't make sense. So one of the things that happens is your thoughts are electrical. Your emotions are magnetic. And so let's say I'm walking down the street and I'm happy. I'm in a space of ease. I'm in my spiritual body. I'm in balance. I'm in ease. I'm happy. And somebody says to me, "You have a funny nose," or whatever insult it might be. So mechanically, this is what happens, is I have a thought. Oh, no, why did they say that? So I have an electrical thought. And immediately I drop in from, and that's in the mental body, I immediately drop into my emotional body and I say, oh, this isn't going to be good. This doesn't feel good. And I have a feeling. And then I start to have more thought. Why did they say that? What's wrong with me? Am I not okay? Do they not like me? And am I never going to succeed? And you start to wrap that electrical wire around that emotional construct. And the more you think I'm not okay, what's wrong with me, how come, the more intense that electromagnetic becomes in your reality. It starts to form it begins to pull your thoughts, your happiness, your point of focus, and you grow up with this gift, wondering, what's wrong with me? How come they said that? Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is incredible information.
Yes.
I mean, it's crystal clear. And honestly, Jim, I haven't heard such clear information in a long time on a personal level for me. I love how, I want to say the word dissect, I love how you're dissecting it and just displaying it to us in such an easy way where it's hitting, for me personally, it's hitting home. So I want to thank you for that.
Perfect. Jim, you're very welcome.
Yeah. Yes, I want to also, let's have a look at how you said, spirituality is simple, but it's not easy, the process itself. Can we say, name the culprit as being the third dimensional way of being? Would that be basically the culprit of it being not easy?
Well, yes, and let's just even expand it even more simply. It's what you know. It's how you think the game is to be played and how you think you're supposed to fit into it. That's third dimension. You structure yourself by that box. And fourth dimension comes into play, but if you think about when you're stressed, when you're at work, when you're behind, when you're in a hurry, are you in a place where you are thinking and choosing about how do I do this, or are you in a stressed state of being?
Right.
And for the most part, most people are out in front of themselves in the future and simultaneously many times worrying about, I hope this thing doesn't bite me in the butt again. And then because of something which you haven't talked about, but is everybody knows this. See, this is kind of funny. Everybody will say, oh, I know about this. And it's this is called the law of attraction. Oh, I listened to Abraham. I saw the movie. I know about the law of attraction. But my next question is, do you know about the law of attraction? And I guarantee you, very few people know about the law of attraction. Again, just to your question, simple but not easy. So let me define the law of attraction from how I understand it.
Okay.
Law of attraction is what you put your attention on, I, the universe who adores you, will provide for you.
Absolutely.
Period.
Yep.
Yeah.
Period. Okay. Wow, this is where it gets interesting. So then why, when I say money, 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 I don't get any? Love, 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 I don't get any. What's that about then? If universe, where the hell are you? So here, let me just add my next piece. So the universe doesn't understand, unfortunately, English and French and Spanish very well. Universe isn't really linguists. But what the universe understands is emotions and thoughts. What you put your thought on, how you hold yourself, what is important to you, I will provide for you. Now, remember all those little boxes of denial that are sitting back here where I'm hoping nobody's going to notice this about me and I can't figure out, I'm really worried about, and gee, someday this may come out and really embarrass me and. So what happens is the universe wakes up and says, wow, Jim's waking up. Where is he today? And he's worried about his job. He's worried about his rent. He's worried about his relationship. He's worried about not having enough. He's really worried. And what does the universe do? Says, oh, this is great. What a great creator. He's got such a good game going on. I will give him more of what he is asking for. You see, it's not about I love it, I love it, I love it, or I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. Just by loving or hating something, you have your attention there.
Yes.
And so what does that actually involve with that statement that you're saying? Between love and hate. The perspective of love and hate, and is it an actual absolute love? These are very serious questions. I think that many people ask themselves,
yes,
because
very
they're
serious.
Constantly dealing with the reality of the duality.
Mm-hmm.
And so the response from the universe, as you said, gives you what you want and what you're vibrating to. But what about love and hate? Can we expand simply? I love that. I love that.
Absolutely. Thing. Absolutely. So here, what I will tell you, without trying to justify it or expand on it much more than this, we know almost nothing about love. We know three little bandwidths of frequency. We know I love you, my partner, my son, my daughter, my immediate family, I love you. And there's a feeling that goes along with that. Then there's a feeling where I have this best friend. I love this person. I'd do anything for this person. Not sexual, intimate, but I love this guy. So a little different vibration. And then there's the one where you're sitting there and the little puppy dog jumps up and licks the little one-year-old's face and it's all over her mouth and everybody laughs and says, oh, isn't that cute? That's your love for humanity. But see, love is a power. Yes. It's a force. It's a presence. There's no sword swung. Nothing gets taken apart. But see, we don't know that love. Because in order to begin to know that love, you have to make a distinction between right and wrong and good and bad and what I hate and what I think I like. See, it's a place where what happens really, think about relationships, you've seen many of them, where they start out great, the guy meets the woman meets the guy in the bar all weekend, sex, body parts, goes on, let's get married, works really good. And then at some point, it begins to change. And so the sex isn't as predominant, and I really like you, but I really got these other things I got to do. And in the all of the great part tones down a little bit. But what happens is in what we call love is I like you because you are like me. Very fundamental. And so what happens is, remember all those little boxes of denied energy I've got sitting back behind me where I don't want to look at them, and I think I'm not okay, and I'm not adequate, and I don't deserve, and I embarrassed myself, and I know nobody's going to like me. Those are vibrating awfully loud for the law of attraction. And so what does the law of attraction give you? A partner. In those places where I hold my attention. Now, it doesn't show up at the beginning for most people because most people have the good face on. And we love ourselves in that good face because that's who we actually are. But all of a sudden, I start to worry about, you're going to know something about me. You're going to find out about me. You're not going to like me. And all of a sudden, my attention point destroys the very thing that I want. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. What do you tell, Jim, what do you tell people regarding mastering their attention? Are there things they can do to master their attention? Let's hear that.
Okay, so here now we're talking about mastering alchemy. And what I mean by that is, see, so we describe that third dimensional duality, right? Wrong, good, bad. And so the real question is, well, is there something else? And the answer is yes. So what would happen if there was another platform to perceive yourself from? Another place to stand on, if you would. Another coat to wear, a hat to put on, that distinguished you from those energies of dualities. So let me ask you a simple question. And then, in fact, everybody, we've got a few more minutes here. Everybody play this out. And let me just ask you a game here. So if I ask you, you guys answer for everybody here, for yourself. So have you ever been certain?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And with decisions, in regard to making decisions and having that knowledge or knowing, yes.
Okay, so you know what certainty is?
In the respect of knowledge, yes.
Okay, now, so you're answering well. So, but to answer that question, what happened is, let me do it afterwards. Now, I want you to close your eyes. Take a breath and just sit back in the chair and be aware of yourself. I'm going to ask you to do something. So, do you know what certainty feels like? Have you ever been certain as a feeling in the body? Now, just ask the body what certainty is, and then let the body respond to the way it's going to show you. This is what certainty is. Now, I'm going to observe. Okay. I'm going to assume you took a little deeper breath. I'm going to assume you pulled your attention in a little closer to yourself. I'm going to assume the body moved in the chair. Maybe your shoulders went back. You sat up a little straighter. And then you took another breath. Is my assumptions at all correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when I ask the question, do you know what certainty is, was the answer anywhere near like what certainty felt like in the body?
Well,
there is.
I would have to say yes in some respect, yes. I would have to say that.
Okay, so there's no right or wrong answer here. But most people walk around defining this other platform in their head. in their analyzer, in their rational mind process. But once you start to play a set of games, very simple, sit in your chair and be certain. And then what we do is I'll have you just shift your attention to capable. And notice there's a shift. Notice what does capable feel like versus in your head, yeah, I'm capable. But in the body, all of a sudden there's a shift. And what if I said happy? Now, what happens as soon as you ask happy, people start to remember a thing. And then they go, oh, yeah, happy. I remember what happy is. But see, there's a very key piece here. Emotions only occur in the present moment. So if I'm worried about my future, worry is my present time emotion. Fear, anxiety, uncertainty, all of those words happen in the moment. And as soon as you put your attention into your past or into your future, those are the kind of emotions that most of humanity walks around with unconsciously. So does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now, if you were start to just simply say, I'm going to be in present time, and I'm going to choose to wear a new uniform, if you would. My uniform is going to compose of happy, certain, capable. I begin to put those three words together as one. All of a sudden, you begin to recognize a presence. You begin to be present. Word I would ask you to be is senior in your body. That doesn't mean old, but it's seniority, a very big word. When you're sitting in those vibrations on that platform and you draw seniority into it, all of a sudden, this is who I am becomes very present,
oh, yeah.
Certain, capable, happy, gracious, commanding of this presence, all of a sudden begins to be a state of being that is neither yes or no, right or wrong, good or bad. It's in that present moment state of being, the ability to recognize the person on the porch and simply say, come in and have a glass of tea with me, becomes a very different place. Now you begin to experience love. At the very fundamental beginning level, you also begin to change the physiology of the body, yeah. And you begin to become aware of how to shift the mental and emotional body.
Wow. What an incredible source of, love that you are, and that you're sharing this knowledge that's universal. You know, that presence that you're talking about is a presence, you know, that we know and we feel and experience. And I know that many listeners have felt this presence, maybe not able to really articulate it, you know, in the mechanism that you've put forth tonight. So, you know, for myself, I'm confirming for myself and to those around that have that vibration that is unique. That
yes.
is true. I think it's, we're so thrilled to have you here today, Jim, and it would be our pleasure to have you again on our show. Because this is knowledge to me, and this is a personal thing here, that is transcending and, you know, and expanding at the same time. Again, this time essence that really is going to disappear in the state of love. Because, you know, and my husband and I, we've been in many of conversations, that dialogue of introspection and dialogue really does create that expression of that force. And the communication that we have with each other. So what I heard you say tonight, really, you just explained in detail the ascension process that everybody's going through. And so the outer side, the other side that you're talking about is just magnificence, isn't it?
Oh, what I've just described is where we've been.
Yes.
I haven't even really begun to describe where you're going.
Yeah.
I love, Jim, I love how you're bringing out this, like your Brainy said, this universal truth of the potential of the human being, individual human being, and the potential of the collective humanity with these universal truths that you're bringing forth to us here on the radio show. So these are for our listeners. These are confirming truths, and Jim has brought forth our potential as collectively, and your personal potential of the power of love that you really, really are. I just wanted to add also that, Jim, real quick here, can you tell us where we're going now that you mentioned it?
Yeah, let me tell you exactly where you're going. So you just heard what we talked about. What's going to happen is the majority of people listening to this are going to go, wow, that was really neat. What's for dinner now? And they will turn their head and they will walk away because they just heard another piece of information that was interesting. The challenge with the spiritual person, the kind of metaphysical spiritual person today, is they generally don't take the next step into how do I become what I just heard was possible.
Yeah.
They say, wow, that was cool. Oh, I like that. I'm going to remember all those things so I can tell my friends. And the horizontal spiritual game continues. But what I just described is where we've been. This little platform I just touched on is the vehicle to step out of everything you know and begin to engage in building that living light body of the Creator, of yourself as Creator. It's not a fantasy. It's a very mechanical, step-by-step structure that you start to engage with those in that higher aspect of your own consciousness. Very exciting possibilities here.
Yes, it is. And, Jim, before we close, Brini will be closing the show today. Do you have a message for humanity? Do you have a message for humankind?
Yeah. Re-listen to the radio show once more and see if you heard what the message was.
An additional message. How about that?
I will be clear. This is a time of massive transition. And just keep it very simple. I know what I know from the past, and to a great extent I don't like it, but neither does anybody else. And it cannot continue in the new shift. And so we're going to wind up in that space of co-creation and gratitude and appreciation and all those wonderful words as a living state of being. But the transition in the next 5-6 years is going to be challenging unless you are able to kind of really hold your own space and observe and then choose your action rather than shoot, ready, aim, and then go, oh, my God, that's not how it's supposed to work. Reactionary third dimension.
Well,
it's a wonderful time.
We are so honored that you shared your information and the love that's within you with all of us today.
My pleasure.
We are here on Tuesday evenings, Thursdays, and sometimes on Sunday mornings from 7 to 8 p.m. And we want to, again, extend to you the opportunity to really connect with Jim even more and go to his website and, you know, get to know a lot of the information, because the information that Jim is bringing forth really is the liberty that many people have wanted for millions of years and have prayed for it. Well, it is arriving. And it has arrived, and we're moving forward. So we're going to walk with you, and we want to walk with everyone in the space of love and bring forth the new. So thank you, Jim. We'd love to have you on again. You know,
please ask.
Sometime in the future.
Please ask.
Which I'll laugh about, because we won't even have a future soon. And thank you again. Just much love, and much love to your loving other there as well. And, keep marching.
Thank you very much.
Jim up. Folks, look him up online. His website is masteringalchemy.com. And in there is a whole slew of information that Jim is presenting on his website, masteringalchemy.com.
And you can also go and visit our website at alltruenatural.com. And we are bridging the gap. And it's not only within the spiritual community, it's within the community of humanity, and that this message does not belong to anyone. but it is our own unique message. And the only one that can hear it is each of us. Nobody can hand it to us. It's all inside. And watch out, guys. You know, the inside is the outside, and the walls just fall down. So have fun. Enjoy yourself. Live life. Laugh. Dance. Play. You know, and, you know, just do it up, because this is it. This is how it happens. Much love. God bless. Thank you, Jim.
You're very welcome.
Good night now.